You're listening to Compelling Conversations. I'm your host, David Moses, and it is a pleasure to have with me here on the show William Prince, who is currently on tour and will soon actually be in our neighborhood. He's going to be performing at the Sanderson Center on November 23rd. So if you haven't got a ticket for that show, you may want to check that out and get it before it is sold out, because his concerts are selling out quickly across the country as he travels. We caught up with him in New Brunswick today, and it's a pleasure to have him with us here. Prince Edward Island? Is it Prince Edward Island, or where are you, William?
Yeah, I'm in St. Andrews, New Brunswick. Been starting off on the East Coast and making my way over to Moncton tonight, and then we will make our way finally back to Prince Edward Island. So it's been a real great start so far. We had 24 shows on this run. It takes us into the first week of December. I got a show almost every day, and I'm just, it's been really, really sweet so far, seeing everybody and having this kind of succession of shows again. You know, the summer was really busy, but it was kind of a festival season where we were zigzagging. So it's nice to, I prefer to drive. So it's nice to sit in a car and go to the next show the next day.
Speaking of the summer and this tour that you're on now, I'm guessing that the summer and this tour are probably the first run at getting back at what people would say is a regular schedule or regular sort of life that we've had prior to the pandemic. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's been really nice. You know, I've been touring since the beginning of the year, so this year has been busier than ever with the bounce back, so to say, making up for lost time and all that. So making up some dates from 2020 still. And then now I'd say this tour is the first tour where I'm 100% current and up to date. Things were pushed back multiple times. I released my sophomore record Reliever in February of 2020. And then March 2020 was when I was supposed to start a tour across the U.S. with my friend Katie Pruitt, and we just wrapped that tour this spring finally. So it's nice to be looking forward and to be doing shows in the present time, and I'm starting to play new music finally, which is really great, because we've been waiting for kind of giving this record its due. I put out two records in 2020 and never really got a chance to tour them until this year. So getting off the internet and being back in person has been incredible.
Great. And I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to being able to see you in person, especially coming up on November 23rd at the Sanderson Center in Brantford.
Have you been there? Have you been to the Sanderson Center?
Oh, yes. Have you not been there?
Yeah, it's a Goliath. Oh, it's a big one. I'm excited to go there and hear that beautiful room. I really hope some folks come out and come check it out. I've heard so many good things. I've had a lot of friends play that building. And so I'm just so excited to get down there. But you were going to say something else. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's a great theater space and a wonderful performance hall. They don't make them like that anymore, that's for sure. We're very fortunate to have it in this area and still have, that kind of a place that artists like yourself and others can go and perform in.
Yeah, it's always great to be looking forward to something. And that's the beauty of playing music. Sometimes we'll play, you know, a couple hundred seaters, and then we get to play the bigger rooms too. And I'm thrilled to come check it out.
Nice. That's wonderful. What I was going to say is that you mentioned Katie Pruitt and doing something with friends and touring. You currently have a song out with Serena Ryder, and it's number two on the Indigenous Music Countdown as we speak. So congratulations to you on that.
No way. Is it actually? That's so great. Holy wow. I love that. I love the Indigenous Music Countdown. That's where I got my start. I love all the people that put that countdown together. It's so valuable in showing just how wide and diverse the musical language of First Nations people is. You get contemporaries, you get traditional mixed with contemporary, and then you get songwriters like myself, you know, and then to bring Serena on board, my friend Serena, who I'm such an admirer of. I believe she's also playing in the area too around that time. She's starting an Ontario tour today. Make sure you check for Serena's dates as well, because her show is incredible. We did a couple of them back in April. We did Massey Hall and we did Kitchener together.
Nice.
The center and the square. And yep. It was just, oh, so great getting to hear her every night after being a fan for my entire, you know, I was listening to her back when I was just starting university and really digging into her records, and to have her on this song is really a dream. I can't, some days it feels quite surreal. Some of the friends that I've made out here, and I can attest to that. They're just as lovely as I had hoped, just as hardworking, talented, kind. And that's who I like to associate with. So Serena was the perfect fit for the song that I've had for so long.
I could play this guitar without any strings.
I could sing for hours about everything.
And that'd be all right by me. So sing me a song, babe.
What kind of song, babe?
The one you hear when you look into my soul. Sing me a song, babe.
What kind of song, babe?
It ain't gotta be good, it ain't gotta be long. Just sing me a song. It ain't gotta be good, it ain't gotta be long. Just sing me a song. It ain't gotta be good, it ain't gotta be long. Sing me a song.
Nice. Was that, is it your song or did you guys co-write that?
No, it's, I wrote that a number of years ago. It's, I think it was one of the first duets that I ever wrote, more as an exercise than really thinking it would be something else than that. And then for years, once in a while, I would sing it with a friend live, but I've never thought of taking it to record until these kind of, we had the time to brainstorm, you know, when you're always on the road and you're looking to the next record and stuff, it's nice to settle and collect the ideas. And so doing that song with Serena was a really great thing to keep us hopeful and going.
Congratulations to both of you on the success of that. And of course, many more. And speaking of that, you know, the one thing I was doing a little bit of research on you prior to our interview here, and I see that you refer to yourself as Wyatt's dad, which I was going to ask you about that because I remember. I think you're how old is your son now?
Wyatt's 6 years old now.
6 years old, yeah. And I know that that's an important thing for you to be a dad. And I was wondering about, you know, getting back on the road and how you structure that relationship with your son being away, or unless he's traveling with you. How do you usually deal with those things?
Well, I'm lucky. He has a great support system at home when I'm gone, and he really doesn't know it any other way. Like I was in New York City the day that he was born, rushing back to be with him, you know, and at 4 months old, he was on the West End cultural stage for a friend show of mine. So he's grown up in the Winnipeg music scene already. He's been to all the folk festivals. We've just started to bring him out. He was at Massey Hall with Serena and I that night.
Nice.
And we took him out to Alberta for some summer shows. My in-laws are out there and we got family out that way. So it was really nice that he could hop on some planes and join us and be with me, because the truth is I thought it was going to be hard on him for me to leave, but any parent out there can attest that it's hard to leave your children. Mm. And that's what my song, That's All I'll Ever Become, is about. You know,
right. Yeah.
You can take home these great prizes, and like I say, I'm so blessed and thankful that I get to do this. It's a bit of a catch-22, you know. The world is out here waiting to hear my songs and come to this show, which I really love. I'm really proud of the show I put on and how we engage and speak and have fun and have moments of reverence. But all of that just equates to, yeah, again, I'm Wyatt's dad. So at the end of the day, that's my greatest accomplishment in life so far. And he has a great mom back home. And my partner, Alicia, and I, we parent him as well. So he's surrounded by love.
Mm.
That's for a First Nations youth, First Nations boy, that's exactly what we want for our children and our youth, to feel surrounded by love and encouraged and lifted. And so I'm happy he has that. And even though it's tough on me, we talk every day. Are we so lucky we can FaceTime every day? You know, imagine if you had to send letters or wait on developed photos. No, in an instant.
Yeah.
Anytime I start weeping or getting teary or emotional out here, I can ask for a Snapchat or a photo or have a little conversation with him. So he's grown up. He knows what his dad does. And I want the world to know that I'm so proud to be his dad.
If you need to buy back the piece you lost to the upkeep, renting a room for your soul, I can see how every last downfall of man could one day lead to the end if we can't find harmony and treat others like we'd like to be treated fair. I know it's not really fair. That don't mean that the outcome should be decided solely by the income of people who don't need it for a living still. I wanna live to the second last day that my children do, selfishly so I can see them through all that they become. That's all I'll ever 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 become.
That's all I'll ever become.
That's all I'll ever become.
That's all I'll ever become.
That's all I'll ever become. That's all I'll ever become. That's all I'll ever become. That's all I'll ever become. That's all I'll ever become. That's all I'll ever become. That's all I'll ever become.
I appreciate everything you're saying there, and we are very fortunate that we have that instant communication now. It really does help a lot, because I'm sure that especially for someone like yourself, it sounds like you're a very caring father, and both you and your partner. And I'm sure that would be very stressful on you if you couldn't have that communication on the road.
Yeah, I'm fortunate, you know, when parents, I'm not with his mom. I have my own partner now, but a lot of families can go through some difficulty in setting that up. Sometimes there can be hostility and bitterness there. I've witnessed it time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really great thing for me, is that I'm not fighting anybody to be out here. I'm not, you know, having these really emotional, mental, toll-taking things with somebody, because they also support what I'm doing for him.
Mm.
And it's all for the best. Right. All for the betterment of his life, his mom's work and mine, and it's two different worlds. And I'm just really thankful that, I guess, that support system lends itself to me as well. I should count that as one of my blessings, that I never worry about my son when he's home with his mom and his grandparents or anything when my family pitches in. So it really does take a village, and the same thing when your dad's a musician.
Mm. Speaking of home, Pegwas First Nation, I believe, is your home community.
Yes, Treaty One territory.
And when we spoke last time, I remember asking you, and I bring this up because we're so close to the date of Remembrance Day, and I believe that you are related to Tommy Prince, of course, who we know as an Indigenous war hero.
Yes, Tommy Prince I was just tracing this back. I believe it makes him my third cousin, but it would have been my grandma's cousin. Yes. It's an interesting lineage because Chief Peguis, where all these people originate from, had many wives before he adopted a more contemporary lifestyle, changed his name. He got an English name, became William King. Eventually he asked Queen Victoria, "What are your sons called?" And she said, "Princes." And he said, "From this day forward, all my sons will be known as princes." And so, Tuesday, November 8th is actually Indigenous Veterans Day, which is really great. And I have a beaded poppy that I wear now that I'm so happy I was able to pick up from Tika's Boutique back in Winnipeg, and just great Indigenous craft work and such. And it's nice to have that and to show my support for the Indigenous veterans. It's always been part of my story, having that last name and hearing him. And I just played a song for Canada Post had a stamp unveiling for Tommy Prince in Winnipeg at the Human Rights Museum. And Tommy Prince Jr., his son, was actually there taking part in the activities. And it's always great to see him and that family and, to pay our tribute, because I don't know if a lot of people know about the Indigenous veterans who would serve for the country and then be disenfranchised when they returned, lose all their status, lose all supports.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to attend veterans' legions, you know, to hold space where a veteran should be honored without question, regardless of your background. You go to war for this country and they don't even appreciate you when you come back. So I'm glad there's an Indigenous Veterans Day now.
Yeah.
And I'm always happy to shine some light on Tommy and his incredible life, but also the true reality and sadness of his life was where he died, plagued by alcoholism and being poor and all these things that a lot of our relations deal with to this day. I'm so fortunate. I'm one in many thousand compared to my family who still live on reserve, and our relations that we see on the streets in need of our help. And that's what I'm just trying to do here, is use my power in any way to help shine a light on these messages. I'm still a work in progress. I am no saint. I'm still unlearning a lot of things from my own traumatic past. And the best way I can do that and deal with that is through music and through song and through our tradition of storytelling and such. I'm learning a lot about our Indigenous culture, my Indigenous culture, in this time. And I'm so glad I have music to facilitate that.
And as you were speaking there, what came to mind was, and it sounds like music is not only allowing you to do these things, but it's also a form of therapy for you.
Oh, of course. I think most art is some form of therapy for the artist. You know, I'm one of the lucky people who have found an audience for what I do. I'm always humbled and pretty taken aback by it when people come to the shows, when people come and fill the Sanderson Center and show up for these gigs and want to hear this story. So I don't take it lightly. And the therapy of writing and creating will find its way to the stage. And that's a whole other level of enjoyment when you get to perform. There's craft and then there's performance. They're kind of apples and oranges, but they go in the same bowl together.
Mm. So as you are now out on the road, as we talked about, and coming up to the Sanderson Center on November 23rd, once this tour starts to wind down, what have you got in store for the future?
Well, I'll be playing gigs until December 10th. I'm going to finish up in Montreal for a gig. We're also doing when we get to Ontario there, I'll be doing the Sanderson Center, but we're also playing in Guelph, Mississauga, St. Catharines, those areas in there. So you can always check out any of the tour is available at williamprincemusic.com/tour, and any of my social handles, just William Prince, all the information's there for what we got coming up. I'm going to end up in Victoria in December and then Montreal. And then I'm so happy to say I'm taking my family on my first ever vacation. So I've never seen the beaches of Mexico, but I'm so lucky and fortunate that, especially after the time we've had, you know, we're all vaccinated and try to take good care mm-hmm. of ourselves, that we can, you know, continue with our privileges rather than these rights we think we all have. Didn't we learn how quickly those things can change? Like, yeah. These are privileges to be able to be out here and doing this safely for a living. And so yeah. I'm really excited to take my son and my partner down there and just take a little time off, not bring a guitar, not bring any merch, not have to sound check. I love what those things mean and do, but it's going to be nice to, I don't know what I'm going to do with my hands in the airport. No, I'm going to be hands free. And then we kick off the new year really big. I'm going over to the Americana Fest in London, England.
Nice.
So the UK, going to go over there and play some shows, do some showcasing. And then, there's so much, you know. It's not going to take long in the new year before you know exactly what I'm up to. And I'm so excited that that's when all the new music is coming. So please, when the time comes,
all right.
Blow it up, put it everywhere, please.
All right, we look forward to that. So once again, William, the name of your tour is Until We Meet Again. And that's the tour you are currently on, as you say, ending up December 4th in Victoria, BC. And yes, you have a number of performances within Ontario, not just in St. Catharines. You've got Guelph, like you said, but also Creemore, Ontario, and Haliburton. A couple of other places there. And if people want to find out that whole list and see if you're going to be performing near you anywhere else besides here at the Brantford Sanderson Center on November 23rd, you can go to
WilliamPrinceMusic.com/tour. It's all there.
There you go. You can find out all about it. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, William. I want to thank you, Nyawa and Jimmy Gwech, for joining us on the show and taking time out of your tour to do this. And really appreciate it. And we look forward to speaking with you in the future. And, you know, I think your hands won't be empty when you're at the airport. I think you'll be holding on to your son.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, he favors Alicia when we're all together, so she's more fun. But this has been really great. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you to everybody out there listening. Hope to see you at the show. It's going to be really terrific, and I'm just so happy to be out here and always, always thrilled. My first time. Hmm. I'm so excited to get to the Sanderson Center. It's one of the shows I'm looking forward to the most. So
cool.
I know that area is full of a lot of great people, my relations. So come on out. Mm-hmm. Come on out and see the show.
All right, William, Nyawa, and Jimmy Gwech, once again, all the best to you in the future, and really appreciate you coming on Compelling Conversations here on CKRZ to share a bit of your time.
Right on. Thank you. Talk to you again.
All right. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. And that was William Prince joining us here on Compelling Conversations. I'm your host, David Moses. It's been a real pleasure speaking with him and also nice to speak with him once again, too. Haven't had a chance to speak for a couple of years. That is this portion of Compelling Conversations. I'm your host, David Moses. Thank you for listening to CKRZ, and we'll see you again next time. ¶¶